first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. The first drink of the day. Welcome to Football Podcast Show number 81, gentlemen.
Hello.
Thoughts on, for anyone, thoughts on 81? It's a milestone. Well, last week was a milestone. We didn't really mention it as a milestone, but never mind. We've got Dan Silva with us.
Good afternoon.
We've got Sean Miller. Say hello, Sean.
All right, hello.
Della Hall, Stuart Hall.
Good afternoon.
And Michael Coxon.
Guten Abend.
What? Yep, good. Interesting.
It's Guten Abend. There's no H.
I'm from the north.
Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. They've still got dialects around there. Okay, 1981. 20th of May, 1981. Ipswich Town won the UEFA Cup, beating AZ 67 of Holland 5-4 on aggregate.
I've actually got a point about an ex-Ipswich Town player, so I just throw it in now.
Go on, go for it.
Well. Yeah, it's actually
come on, how have you got this? Have you prepped, just in case Jim ever mentioned Ipswich Town at the start of the show, I can bring this
who
up.
Who knew it?
No, is it Jim Magill?
No.
Is it Kevin Beattie?
It is. It's my Muppet of the Week. Yeah. It's my Muppet of the Week.
Okay, right? Go on.
I was going to throw it in a bit later, but it works out perfectly. Ex-England and Ipswich football player Kevin Beattie.
PFA Young Player of the Year as well.
Back in the 70s.
This year? I thought it was Carl Walker.
Hey, beat him.
Yeah, I'd say he's only been done. He's admitted fraud. He's claimed £9,000 worth of benefits whilst working, and not declaring it. But do you know what he was working as, Jim?
Go on.
He was working for BBC Radio Suffolk. So I'm not being funny though, Kevin. If you're going to do a job on the sly whilst claiming benefits, yeah. I wouldn't do one where you're on
publicly,
radio. So that's my.
What was he claiming benefits for?
That bit's a bit sad. His wife is very ill, and he has to be a full-time carer. Yeah. So that's a bit sad. But the whole point is, if he's going to do a job whilst claiming benefits, don't do it on public radio.
All right. Well, we're not putting him as a naughty boy. Because that's not.
It's just a bit silly.
It's actually a bit melancholy. That
It is a little bit, but it's just a bit silly.
A bit silly.
It's just a bit silly.
Danny, what are you wearing today? Is that Chanel number 5? Thursday nights. God. Let's talk about Chelsea winning the Champions League. See it from a Spurs fan, first of all. Where did you watch it, Dan, as our resident?
Watching it in Krakow.
Of course you were, with your eye gouged out, according to Twitter reports as well.
I'll give a little bit of rundown on that. Beautiful, beautiful city, Krakow. Beautiful city.
It is nice, isn't it?
It's beautiful. Like the main square, delightful. Never been to, reasonably well travelled in my young years, and I've never been to somewhere where they hate the English so much.
Yeah, really?
You've never been to Scotland.
Fair. But they're really.
Or Manchester.
They're really not a big fan. In fact, on the first night, we were just sat outside a club having a few, basically winding down.
Okay, winding down.
No, no,
you were on a football tour. Yeah. I bet you were like,
Yeah,
honestly.
I'm going to get stick for this, but it's an old public school boys league. Right, so it's
standard sort of football team.
So a lot of polo shirts, a lot of chinos, a nice group of lads. Right, there's no football shirts,
and I believe you as well.
We were sat there just chilling out, having a cigarette, about to wander back to the hostel,
back to the brothel,
and the four Polish lads came over, no reason whatsoever, started screaming in our faces and tried very, very hard to kick the shit out of us, waiting for one of us just to throw a punch. We all got up and started walking away. I got my right eye gouged, which was pleasant, whilst being pushed in the back. One of the other lads got his glasses knocked off his face. The other guy's got slapped around the head.
That's just the bar stuff.
That does sound quite like a private school fight. He got his glasses knocked off his face. Oh no! Jeremy's blazer fell in the puddle. Zeroed it. I'll tell you though, I have to say,
this is the most Coxon's ever made me laugh.
We were saying, you went and you were very civilised. But to be fair, if you'd been on a football tour dressed like that, doing that in Manchester, you probably would have got started.
Fair.
Sky Sports would be doing all these scaremonger reports about Ukraine fans and Polish fans. I just like the fact that Dan's mate's there with his glasses snapped in two. Going, what a kerfuffle.
You laugh, but glasses don't cost a lot of money these days, Jim.
It's true.
Yeah, very true.
But it was a beautiful place. It was just a bit intimidating.
All right, back to the football. So
watched it in a bar.
Yeah, you must have just been sick.
I admit I was, to be honest. It was. I was watching it. I put my nice cap on because there's two of the lads there were Chelsea fans, massive Chelsea fans.
Okay.
I was the only Spurs fan, so I didn't really have any support. A few of the lads beforehand were like, we'd still love to see.
Some of the points from outside that have given you a hand.
Yeah. a few of the lads were like, we'd love to see Bayern win, but obviously as the game went on, all the lads wanted Chelsea to win. I didn't celebrate when Bayern scored, but I really did think they had it in the bag. I couldn't see Chelsea scoring. Bayern were, I mean, cow's arse and banjo comes to mind. Bayern Munich could not put the ball in the back of their net, could they? It was how many chances? Chelsea didn't deserve it at all. And it was,
Chelsea did what they did well. They parked the bus. They defended quite resolutely. Obviously, Bayern still created chances, but better check
and a little
few
bit
saves.
Did you? What do you guys make of?
Gone through the whole tournament.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Funny. It's like the likes of Arsenal would never be able to win the championship, European championship, like they did. What did you make of Johan Cruyff's comments? And have you seen them?
No, I
tend not to listen to what Johan Cruyff said.
This is a quote: Chelsea winning is a defeat for proper football.
Yes, and then absolutely.
Chelsea win is a defeat for him. Then he said he'd rather not win it than win it like that as well.
It's funny though, because it reminds me 100%. Of obviously Jose Mourinho famously saying that Tottenham parked the bus at Stamford Bridge, and now it's sort of flipped on its head that Tottenham are pissed off that Chelsea parked the bus.
It's not just Tottenham. The problem is, mate, Chelsea are shit. Chelsea are shit. And I was having this chat with my old man as well. The problem is, they don't deserve to win the European Championship. I mean, they're not.
If you win it, you deserve to win it.
No, it doesn't matter. Inter Milan against Jose Mourinho with Jose Mourinho won the tournament. You don't look at it now and say, "Oh, they were horribly defensive." In 5-6 years' time, all you look at is winners on the trophy. Yeah, it doesn't matter.
People will remember Didier Drogba scoring the penalty. They'll remember Petr Cech saving three penalties.
I bloody
out of
hope
six.
They remember Manuel Neuer taking the third pen. That was brilliant.
I will always remember the guy that ran on the pitch during the celebrations that looked like he was naked. He just had like these cream coloured shorts on. It just looked like a naked man was running onto the pitch.
I have to say something interesting. He didn't get picked up too much. When Robin took his penalty, Sunderland's beach ball popped up, didn't it?
I didn't see it.
But it wasn't really. Robin didn't actually look up at all, because I actually thought, could that have put him off? And then if you look at it, he's looking down at the ball.
Terrible pen.
It wasn't great. But I mean,
apparently Petr Cech had studied every single Bayern pen for the past 3 years.
He'd spent hours and hours.
Studied Manuel Neuer?
To be fair, that Schweinsteiger penalty would have been a great penalty, but Cech pulled off a fantastic
save that was.
Stu, what did you make of the game?
Missed it, old man. I was asleep.
Yeah, you were in a drunken stupor, weren't you, Stuart? You fell asleep
twice
at about
now, 2 years I've slept through the Champions League. It's because it's boring, mate.
It was far from boring, this one.
Stuart drank Sambuca, rum and cider throughout the whole afternoon and fell asleep
in one glass?
Pretty much.
It was close.
He fell asleep about 8 o'clock. Woke up just as the penalties were starting and said that he needed to be back in London about 4 hours before that, and he was stuck in Northampton, bless him. But I think you were about to say, Chelsea, to get there, they've beaten, they were staring defeat in the face after the first leg against Napoli.
They were 37-1 to win.
That's their biggest triumph, I think.
One of the players said, I think it was Drogba, said that the moment that turned their Champions League season was when Ashley Cole made a goal line clearance when it was, what was the first leg score?
3-1.
3-1. It was 3-1, Ashley Cole made
Did he start that game? Was that the one where ABB decided to drop a load of players?
Did he start Botswinger at left back?
I think that's right, and he brought on Ashley Cole, didn't he?
But I mean, right, and if we're talking about left backs as well, the Ryan Bertrands.
That was bizarre, wasn't it?
It was bizarre. He's got a Champions League winner's medal now. He's played one game.
He didn't touch the ball. I think he touched it once, tried to take on the fullback, lost it.
But I mean, the reason he was there was to provide the defensive cover, wasn't he? That's what he was there for. Yeah. So if they're not getting done on Bayern Munich's right hand side, if they're not free flowing down there, then obviously.
It was a gamble, but they
didn't really have anyone else because Malouda was on the bench, but he was unsure whether he was going to be fit.
It did pay off, too, because they won the game.
Of course, it's paid off.
They've won the game, mate. If he hadn't started him, they might not have won the game. They might not have stayed 0-0 up until the 83rd minute and got a chance. Well, it doesn't know. It's not white. It's black and white, mate. They won the game and he started with him, so therefore it's a good decision.
I tell you, it will be disgrace now if Lampard, Cole and Terry don't get that job permanently.
It's very true. It's very true. But Bertrand, it's a crazy one. Obviously, he's been there for a long time. He's been on loan a lot of times.
Controversial.
He was at Forest,
signing from you boys, wasn't
he? He was, yeah. But although it actually looks like we're probably going to get about 600-700k out of it now, because if he makes 30 appearances for Chelsea, we get more money and what have you. Right. But they nicked him off Gillingham at the age of about 15. And
what do you think about? Sorry.
Now go on.
What do you think about the all the suspended players in their kit?
I thought it was embarrassing.
I thought it was really bizarre. I mean,
I'm John all... Terry still hadn't changed out for the
well, John Terry had his shin pads on.
They had full kit.
They're all suspended. They're in full kit. And I thought it was really bizarre.
I thought it was embarrassing because I'm all for them being involved in the trophy presentation. All these players, because it is a sport game. But to dress in the kit and parade around like you played, there was players from the youth team. There was, I can't remember his first name, but Kane, who was wearing number 54. He's not even in their reserve squad. He's in the youth squad. Todd Kane. Never even played for the reserve. Why is he there getting a medal?
Well, yeah. Okay, in terms of youth, in terms of like youth players, that's not a bad thing. They want him involved in the Champions League game.
I understand him being there. Danny Welbeck was there when we were in 2008.
Bad shot.
Go on. Go on, Dan.
I'm just wanting the opinion of why. I've never seen it before.
I just don't see the point.
Turn up in your suit. I'd have thought they'd have been there in a suit, ready. Yeah.
It doesn't really matter, does it?
John Terry
got so much stick, and there was three other players that did exactly the same.
That's what I mean. I mean, the whole lot. If it had just been Terry, it would have looked like a right muppet. But they've always gone, let's all wear our kit, lads.
To me, as a neutral, it didn't give a jot.
No, but I thought it was just a bit bizarre.
I think you could probably, like, me and Sean don't care, as lower league football fans. Don't think Stuart gives a fig either. And he's a Chelsea fan. I think, obviously, you two maybe care a little bit more because you're thinking your team should have been there and what have you.
I wouldn't even say that. I'd just say, looking from the past, I understand the part of the presentation, but I don't see the point in changing into a kit. I don't see...
If the Bayern Munich players had done it, I don't think we'd be talking about it.
Well, no, because we wouldn't really care.
Yeah, it's just a non-story, really, still doing a jig.
It's true. So, you're talking about the Robin penalty. I came in on Monday morning to find out that Robin was dead, which devastated me because the penalty wasn't that bad. So,
That's just a tragedy.
That's not nice, is it, Jim?
Well, come on. Stuart told me to do
That's
it.
That's not nice, is it? He's talking about the BG, if anyone knows, doesn't know what he's talking about. It's actually quite sad.
So was I when I said it was a tragedy, but luckily
I slipped under. Oh, yes. He slipped under. You can't say that, mate. Not in these circumstances. Right, moving on. Chelsea manager. Chelsea manager.
Give it to Di Matteo.
Di Matteo should go.
Are you saying that with your Spurs hat on?
Yes. Or could you... Absolutely.
I think Di Matteo's done enough to get it on a rolling contract, certainly, for years.
Well, Drogba's come out and said he doesn't want it and he's leaving, isn't he? So,
he doesn't want it. Yeah, good one. If he gave it to Di Matteo, I don't think he'll do that. I think it will be very hard for him. Obviously, he set such a high standard as well. But I think a few Chelsea fans that I spoke to have said, give it to Di Matteo. If he's not working out halfway through the season, then they can try and get Guardiola. Too late for what?
Qualify for Champions League football, carrying on the Champions League football.
Well, you could have said that this season. It didn't really work out, but they changed it in time, didn't they?
But they didn't get into the Champions League places.
You can obviously look at Liverpool, who've maybe stuck with the manager too long for last season, but Chelsea have a whole different proposition. If they're struggling by Christmas, they've got the capability to go out and spend 100 million.
I don't like the fact that both Chelsea and Liverpool supposedly want Redknapp.
Well, reports of both. I would be amazed if Sun columnist Harry Redknapp went to Liverpool.
True.
Be amazed.
It's just contract issues with him. He's not going to come out and say no to either team while he hasn't got his improved contract.
Harry Redknapp has said in the past, I wouldn't take the Chelsea job because I probably won't be able to go to London again because he'd be that pilloried. But then money talks, and he's not exactly the most. Don't have the best integrity. So
I wonder how Redknapp's conversation with his nephew Frank Lampard went. Fred Lampard called him up. All right, uncle, yeah, won a Champions League. Yeah, good one. Nice one.
Cheers, mate.
Stuart, what's your thoughts on Di Matteo? If you were a Chelsea fan, would you want him there for give him a year's contract? Could you easily say to him...
You talk about the players they're looking to sign. Would they want to sign for him?
That's another point as well.
When you're a young player and you want to sign for a big club, you want to sign for a big manager and a big club.
But I mean,
not a failed West Brom.
That's a very good point.
But he's just won the Champions League.
That's a big thing.
He's got them together. A team that needed bringing together. That's all he's done.
It's not like they had a group of crap players, is it?
Exactly.
Yeah. Say you're Eden Hazard and you're going to talk to each club.
Well, why would you not call him Eden? Well, it's a great name.
Yeah. Either way,
it's not really how you pronounce it, but it's much better, isn't it?
Go on.
Exactly, but he's apparently agreed terms with United, City and Chelsea. And he's going to decide which one's going.
But if you go to Chelsea, if you go around the stadium,
you talk to the squad, and they're all loving Di Matteo, then that's going to rub off on you.
True.
If they're showing great faith.
Yeah, but then two months down the line, Abramovich will appoint someone else.
But I agree, but the fact that, just putting my, going back to Spurs, supposedly Loic Remy is still keen to come to Spurs. But the only if Harry Redknapp stays there, because he wants a big name. Yeah, he said the only if Harry Redknapp's definitely the manager, I'll come, supposedly. And but I think it's a big point about a big manager, or the manager is a really big focal point of the club, because it means attracting big players. So Di Matteo, it's swings around about.
It's always worked for Wenger or Ferguson. It's always been a great pull for players.
Yeah.
I mean, Di Matteo could say, right, I don't want a 1-year deal. I've done enough to earn a 2-3-year deal.
Well, then
but a 1-year, no, and what he's looking after his interests, isn't he? Because if he gets a 2-3-year deal,
he probably isn't, because if he says I want a 2-3-year deal, well, the only way he'd be doing that is for the redundancy payout.
Exactly.
But if I was Chelsea and he turned around and said that, I'd probably say no, because he's not had a full season. He obviously isn't this top class manager in terms of his history and his pedigree.
But you've got to start somewhere. The other thing is that Chelsea is a big job, because I know he's brought the likes of Lampard, Terry, Ashley Cole, all these sort of the old school
the
players,
old guard.
Drogba that he brought back in. They've all got to be replaced. Mm. Maybe not next season. Maybe
starting
the manager
with Drogba, isn't it?
Maybe, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Drogba is now leaving.
Chat about Hulk coming in to replace him, supposedly Hulk's shown interest.
They don't really. Their replacement for Drogba is going to be
Undertaker as well.
The replacement for Drogba is going to be Torres, isn't it? If they play that formation with one up front, Torres is obviously going to now become the main man. I would have thought.
So he doesn't stop whinging.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's going to be interesting. But that's why the appointment is so key for Chelsea, because it's not just like right. They need someone now to go into that team and sort of reshape it and what have you.
And with an iron fist.
Talking of which, actually, Mike, I wanted to ask you, moving on slightly to Man United, there's a lot of talk that Ferguson might have his last season this coming season, so next season, and then there's talk of Giggs. Have you heard this?
I've heard
that
a lot
Giggs
about
taking
this.
Up,
yeah.
Taking up the
apparently,
ranks.
Apparently, it's what all the players want.
The players want it, and apparently the board want it, because basically what the board have said is...
Well, it'd be cheap.
I don't think that's why the... I honestly don't think... I'm talking about
the Glazers.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the likes of Bobby Charlton and people that have also got a set on the board from a footballing perspective. What they've basically said is, we've all been thinking for a while, like, Fergie's going to retire, who's going to go in there? He needs someone massive to go in there. So you're looking at the likes of, like, I know, Sven, when he was at the top of his game, was touted for it.
Capello has been touted for Mourinho.
Someone like this that would come in and then stamp their authority. And the board and a lot of the Man United players, it seems, apparently, and sort of said, well, no, if we've got a winning philosophy and winning mentality, what we want is someone just to take that on. To not come in, not reshape anything, to actually rule with exactly the same sort of standards. Yeah. And even have Ferguson there for 3 or 4 years, just above them.
Well, it's continuity, and it keeps it in house. It's similar to what Liverpool used to do, obviously, back with Shankly and Paisley, Fagan and Dalglish. And it is a nice idea. I think it'd be popular with the fans. My only concern is, we tried that when Matt Busby retired and we got Wilf McGuinness in, who had been coaching the youth players and had played at the club, and it was an unmitigated failure. Matt Busby had to come back, and then we went through 25 years in the wilderness. It's got to be done right, and I think Giggs would have to have a lot more autonomy from Ferguson than people say. It's easy to say Ferguson could be there overseeing it, but you also want Giggs to stamp his authority.
I think it'd be a big gamble. I think it'd be a very big gamble.
I mean, I always wanted Eric Cantona because he'd probably play five people up front and play beautiful football. Probably not the most logical way to do it, but it'd be great. But
Ole Gunnar Solskjaer?
It's an interesting one.
Well, he's just turned down Villa, hasn't he?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, it's the same...
He turned down Liverpool at the same time just because he thought he had to.
Shame your names are here. It's two terrible news bits of news for Villa. Not only is Solskjaer turning down the job, but Emil Heskey's been released.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something about the reserves. Terrible. The reserves didn't win the league. They lost in the playoff against Man United.
Emil Heskey, where do you reckon his next move will be?
Leicester.
That Michael Owen goes. That'd be great. Get Heskey Owen going again.
Leicester.
I've heard a lot about him going back to Leicester, and I do think his top flight days, unless there is a promoted team who want to take a punt on him.
It should be.
But it was interesting, actually, before I came, I made a list of the players who'd been released at the end of the season. There's some big names. I mean, Drogba obviously is a whole different kettle of fish, but Michael Owen, Emil Heskey, Owen Hargreaves, Carlos Cuela, Ivan Klasnić.
QPR are going to have to go in for Hargreaves, aren't they? Now they've re-signed Dyer.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
I think there's got to be more on sort of like a player coach role, possibly. Because he's certainly
he's
not
a good guy to have around the ground, around the team. That's what they've said, basically. Gillingham signed.
He's played 4 minutes. Gillingham, Roy Griffiths.
Gillingham gave an extended contract to a player, and the manager actually said he's not very good, but he's good for banter. That's what he got a contract, basically.
To be fair, Jim, you should try that.
What's
shite
that?
Footballer, not a bad with a banter.
I'm not shite at football. Come on. Ran the game yesterday, they, we eventually lost.
I think there's a lot of chat, though. I've got, obviously, being from Brighton, a lot of friends in Brighton. Well, not so much Poi, but there's apparently Michael Owen has been spending a lot of time in Brighton recently.
Oh, yeah.
And
really?
Supposedly there's.
What is he doing to her on that bridge?
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
That's a bit of romance.
God. No, I don't know, is that romantic? He's basically. We're looking at a middle-aged man pinning his girlfriend, fiance, whatever she is, against the bridge.
She might be trying to get away.
I think she is. She's struggling.
Is that dry humping? Can we class that as dry humping? Why is something bizarre always happens on every bloody show?
It's always Stuart that notices it.
Because he's not listening to us.
Because I'm bored.
All right, let's go back to you quickly. Kieran Dyer, so is it a paper play? Have they actually disclosed what sort of deal he's on? Because it's a very strange... To everyone else, it's a very strange one.
Paper play, he's still on a basic wage and it's bumped up and he gets different bonuses when he plays, so he's still getting a weekly wage, so they must assume he can offer something. Maybe that just sums up our summer budget. It's not as much as what everyone expects again.
They reckon to wraps off, didn't they?
Yeah.
that was a nonchalant shrug from
Stuart. Just screw his face up. I can't stop watching these people dry hump now. It's
Come on,
ridiculous.
Focus, Jim.
All right, I'm going to focus.
I think if he plays more than 4 minutes next season, it's been a great signing.
More than four
it's
minutes.
Like a, it's like a new signing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I guess so.
Mike, you've been to the bar. Just look over at the bridge. It's interesting, isn't it?
Oh, Christ.
No, it's not Christ. Christ wouldn't act in that sort of manner.
Last bit of negative news before we move on to happy things.
Go on.
A bit controversial, really. McCormack.
Yeah, is he coming out?
He's been released, or he's about to be released after serving 3.5 years of his 7 years and 4 months.
Right. Yeah.
And apparently he's going to Swindon on trial.
Okay.
He's already been snapped up. He's been
training with Swindon since January when he's been on day release.
Yeah, he's been allowed out, hasn't he?
He's been allowed out on day release to train with Swindon. I thought it was like family.
Well, I think that was more of a punishment. I think it's part of when you go on day release, you also do some work, and obviously that's his relevant field. But obviously, it was a terrible.
What do they call the visits when you're allowed to?
Conjugal visits.
Conjugal visits with Paolo Di Canio. Interesting.
That caravan would be rocking, even if there was no dodgy business going on.
A bit controversial, really.
To be fair, it's a terrible thing that happened. But it's like Swindon have said. Obviously, this lad's going to wake up with a life sentence every day, as are the family.
Yeah.
But if he can come out, contribute to society, get back in his work and hopefully do something in his life, it's not fair once he's served his time.
The worst thing is when people come out and re-offend.
So you look at, say, Jermaine Pennant. Obviously it's a completely different crime, but he clearly learned nothing.
Spent a lot of time campaigning against drink driving and
I think Lee Hughes will probably be pretty much the role model
Hughes get punished for something last year though?
He hasn't been punished, he was accused of something.
Speaking of being condemned before you're found guilty. You know, David Cameron talking about John Terry.
He said some stupid things.
Like, well, that's not been confirmed yet.
I bet John Terry says some stupid things probably every moment in his life.
As John Terry celebrates, obviously David Cameron has been made of his old man, almost Alex Ferguson-esque struggle to raise the arms.
Amazing.
In celebration.
It was brilliant. It's gone everywhere, hasn't it? I mean, the one where they photoshopped in the original one was when Obama was watching the assassination attempt on Osama bin Laden, and when they've got up and they've realised it's happened. It's probably brilliant. He's a Muppet anyway.
All right, moving on. Who was your standout performance of since the last show, player or team? Fellas, I'm going to put a controversial one out there. I'm saying Ryan Bertrand. To have that much pressure put on you and to
he
do
didn't
it,
do anything.
I don't care.
He didn't do anything.
It's about as much what you don't do when you're in that sort of game. When you're just there to defend and shore things up, if you're not noticed, then great, because it means nobody's skinning you. It means nobody's
He gets told, like, a day or 2 days, whenever he found out that he's going to be playing for the first time in the Champions League.
First player to ever make his debut in the Champions League final.
In the Champions League final, away, basically, is what
he's
they
still
were.
Really young
to
as
Bayern
well,
Munich. 21. Yeah, he's had quite a bit of experience because he's been on loan a lot of places.
Yeah.
But that
not all lower league.
It would, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, he played 40 games at Reading, so he's had like a whole championship season.
Yeah,
but,
exactly.
But yeah, that's why I said it would be controversial. I understand why you don't agree with it, but I've got my reasons for picking it.
It's not easy to go in. I mean, last year in the Champions League final, United started with Fabio, who hadn't played that many games, and he didn't have a terrible game, but he was anonymous and he struggled against Barcelona. And it's very hard for young players to go in and put in a good shift, and Ryan Birch did that. I'd agree with you.
Yeah, and let's be honest, he's going to be an England left back for. As soon as Cole retires,
yeah,
he'll move straight
well,
in.
Leighton Baines. I was about to say Leighton Baines is the Nigel Martin
of
left back.
12 million to United, supposedly.
I'd pay 12 million for him. I think he's a good left back, and we desperately need one.
Yeah.
Desperately. Patrice Evra has been rubbish for 2 years now. So.
Right. What are you having, Mike?
I would agree with you on Ryan Bertrand, to be honest.
Yeah?
You
didn't think one, did you?
I didn't bother, no.
York City, back to the big time.
Yes, we'll talk about that in a minute, but in fact, let's talk about it now.
Yeah.
Have you seen the winning goal, Stuart Hall? Have any of you seen? It's 2-1.
Was it against Torquay?
Luton. Torquay are in the... No, they're not. They're not in the playoff final, but Torquay were in the playoffs. Lost to Cheltenham over 2 legs.
Right, yes.
This was the conference playoff final on Saturday.
Of course it was, yeah.
Sunday. 3 o'clock at Wembley. Luton went 1-0 up in about the third minute.
Luton took a hell of a lot of fans as well, considering.
There was about 40. In fact, I can tell you how many there was there.
You were annoyed, weren't you? Because you wanted Luton to win because it's a lot easier distance
but, I mean,
to go.
But then in terms of away trips, York's a lot nicer place to
visit.
Lovely place
to go,
yeah.
Go and see the cathedral.
Yeah, 39,265. 39,265 there, of which over 30,000 were Luton Town fans.
That's the case, yeah.
Obviously, it's not far to go. It's very, very close for them. But they still do.
Impressive.
They do get a decent support. Doesn't matter, a jot on the day. Luton went 1-0 up. York equalised. And then just after half-time, I believe, I've seen the goal a few times. You will never see a more clear offside in a final,
bad news,
particularly a playoff final. On that decision, the linesman gave it was clearly offside, and Luton have stayed down. York have gone up based on that.
That's bad, isn't it? Over the case of 48 games they've played, including the playoffs, and then it's down to one decision, they've not.
But that's football, isn't it? Really, at the end of the day, I mean, everyone has dodgy offside decisions go for and against them. It's horrible when it happens at that sort of stage.
That makes
such a difference. And
I agree that it's football, but I think that's a really rubbish thing about the side of football when you've done everything you can.
Yeah, everything in your power to get there, and then it goes against you because someone hasn't done their job properly.
Yeah. Technology, that is something that they could have.
I don't see. The problem is, if you do video technology for goal line and you do it for offside, who's to say you don't do it for every foul and every kick of the ball? It does just go a bit too far, and it does break the game. I'm all for video technology, but not for offside.
Not for offside, no.
Right. What about goals scored that potentially could be disallowed from an offside position?
Human error is part of football.
Yeah, okay.
Be it players making mistakes and occasionally officials.
It's one
Joey Barton being Joey Barton.
It's one thing in tennis going to Hawkeye when it takes five seconds to do it over a shot.
And everyone gets
in football, if the whole ground sat there and you're waiting to see if it's offside.
Yeah, then you have nearly 40,000 of however many people going, that'd be great.
You've made a very good point there.
Thanks,
Sean. Who are you going for?
I was going to go with York City, but I'll go with Petr Cech instead because he was brilliant.
Yeah, and we've already mentioned the fact.
That first goal, it was he got lobbed on the line. He should have stayed that header.
It was
a terrible error.
He's obviously
forgiven.
He's expecting the header. He's not expecting the header to be drilled into.
But it went right over his head on the line. He should have saved it. But okay, he made up for it a little bit. But that was an awful.
Fair enough.
What, in fact, I've thought of the performance of the week for me. I mean, we all know the prize everybody in Manchester wanted to win this year was the Manchester Senior Cup, which United won at Eastlands against City. And if you listen carefully, you can hear the straws that I'm clutching at rustling my hands. Come on, Manchester Senior Cup. When is our bus parade? That and the charity shield, it'll be brilliant.
Yeah, Dan.
I've last few weeks, I'm going to continue on the theme for sarcastic performance of the week.
That's fine.
And it's Bayern fucking Munich. How did they not? That was absolutely.
We've done that. Pathetic. We've talked for 15 minutes.
I know, but that's my sarcastic.
I've got a second one.
So I guess I'll say Ricardo Bastei, brilliant goal to win.
We're going on to that, mate. Don't worry about that.
I have got another one as well. The Polish lad who tried to gouge Dan's eye out.
Yeah, performance of the week. If he'd managed it, it was performance of the week. He didn't quite do it, so we'll move on.
Okay, the guy who knocked the glasses off then.
Right, we've talked about one of these already. Naughty Boys of the Week. No one's been arrested or been involved in gang rape that we know of that's broke yet. But we've got Hazard as...
It's been a slow week, and then...
Yeah, it's just been a rubbish week for news.
Come on, footballers, step it up.
Hazard, as you've already mentioned, he just talks endlessly, just chats.
I know. He's not doing himself any
favours. Every time I see a headline, I think, oh, it's just paper talk. And then there's an actual quote from him
exactly.
About... On Chelsea
next
now.
Season I'll be playing in blue.
The latest one was Chelsea's very attractive. I saw them win the Champions League. That's the sort of team I want to play for. It's just like, man, just shut your mouth.
Another thing is, that's all they played.
They don't play with wingers.
No, he's thinking if my competition's Ryan Bertrand, he touches the ball once, I'm on to a winner.
Yeah,
not wrong.
True.
The thing is,
a hat trick in his last game, though.
The thing that worries me with Hazard is, I think a lot of this will probably be coming from Asians, and that's not the sort of play
from Asians.
Agents.
Bloody hell, can't say that sort of
you
thing.
You have your own thoughts on those matters. But no, obviously his agent is going to be feeding a lot of this. I've seen a lot of talk from his agent saying he'll decide when. I don't want the sort of player who'll come to United maybe, play for two seasons, and then Real Madrid or Barcelona will be after him, and his agent will be at it again. We've had that too many times in the past with people like Tevez. You don't want that.
Who's the other one? Ronaldo, was it?
Well, Ronaldo wasn't so bad. Ronaldo was always very open about the fact he wanted to play for Madrid.
Yeah, exactly.
He stayed the season longer than we expected. So.
True.
And do we know if Robbie Keane signing for anyone this pre-season?
His boyhood club.
One day he'll actually go back to the under-8s of like someone in Ireland, and it will actually be his fucking boyhood club.
Chivas Guadalajara, I think.
Have we finished on Naughty Boy News?
No, not quite. Torres. Came out in the aftermath of the Champions League win and was basically saying, I'm not very happy. She's not why I signed for Chelsea.
Apparently,
it's funny because he looks really happy when he's on the bench.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
Apparently, the last sentence was missed off from what he said. He said all that and he said,
I'm only joking.
But I don't. No, he said, I don't mind though. We've won the Champions League. Next season's a new season. I want to stay at Chelsea.
Okay. Is that actually true?
Apparently, yes.
It's the papers. I've not seen the interview, so maybe I shouldn't have been quoting it. But
still, let's kick Torres a bit.
I really like him, and I want him. I would love next season for him to kick on and start being the player that he was, because he scored some fantastic goals. And from a neutral point of view, it was a pleasure to watch him.
You look at
the way he used to just skip past players. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
But Torres in Liverpool. Yeah. Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. Look at his goals.
I'd rather have a player like that back in.
Look at his goal scoring record, though. If you go back, he's only had one exceptional goal scoring season, which was his first one at Liverpool. He has had seasons where he's been very good, but you go back to Atletico Madrid. You go back to his start at Chelsea and most of his years at Liverpool. He has had a lot of times when he struggled, and I just wonder whether maybe that one season where he was amazing at Liverpool sort of clouds the fact that he isn't the best striker in the world.
Have you got another naughty boy?
I haven't got another naughty boy. I've got more naughty girls.
Oh, good stuff. Yeah,
what is this?
I still haven't seen the video of the last one on the website yet. I'd like to see that.
Yeah, you will. We are... Obviously, being football lads, one thing we like as much as football, I'm speaking for myself, is tits.
You speak for all of us.
I watch 11 of them most weeks, so yeah.
By the sound of the people you're hanging around with in Poland, you love them.
Go on.
We have had another femme incident. We've had, this time in the Ukraine, where is it? Security guards moved in to stop Inna Shevchenko, no relation as far as I'm concerned.
She's probably better at football these days.
Probably. Activist in the Femen group who grabbed hold. She actually managed to grab hold of the trophy.
Don't let her bro. Another
girl is in the centre square of.
Whose trophy did she grab hold of?
Was she an activist in a feminine group, so she was just all nice and girly, or in a feminist group, so she
called
was.
Called Femen.
Femen?
Yes, the group is called Femen.
Men. I've seen this, they went bonkers as soon as they got hold of the trophy.
Yeah,
is there a video of that as well?
Did they win it?
There was pictures.
Was John Terry there at the back going,
with a bra on?
And another girl next to her with her tits out again with fuck 2012 Euro 2012 written on her stomach but you know it's caused a bit of a storm, and health officials in Poland are actually taking a particularly strong step because of it. The Associated Press reports that as part of the Fair Play campaign, 150,000 free kits with condoms and leaflets are going to be distributed in fan zones at Euro 2012 to warn people about the health hazards of casual sex, such as AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases.
This
is the leaflets are translated into Polish, Ukrainian, Russian, English, German and Spanish. And they advised the use of condoms.
Oh, that, I'm going to go. Well, however,
what about the Italians?
And well,
yeah,
however,
Christ.
However, perhaps they reckon that the Italians, French, and Dutch fans are already very aware of the risks associated with casual sex,
and they choose to ignore it.
So they didn't fancy that. But yeah, it's actually causing quite a bit of awareness. But they also say that, unfortunately, every time they see these women with their tits out, yes, they're campaigning for, you know, the amount of prostitutes and casual sex that might be had, but it's also reminding men about the fact that there's loads of women that are there to...
There's loads of prostitutes
to be
casual
had sex with. Yeah, it's a double
That's
sword.
The only thing that is pros and
cons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pros and cons is
hey, at least
true.
It's a balanced argument.
Yeah, pros,
a lot of
true.
Pros,
by the sounds of it.
So, well, you never know, lads, but by next week there might be some more women with their tits out. So, there we go.
Right, a couple of bits of housekeeping for you guys. The FA Trophy and the FA Vars happened before last week's show, but we didn't get a chance to talk about it because we were talking about England and looking at Sam Allardyce's back too
bit,
much.
Aren't they?
Yeah, that was FA Trophy, Newport County, nil, York City 2.
That's the double.
19,000. Yeah, massive double. Newport County as well. Lee Minshew.
How many did they spend for that? Out of interest?
I don't know. I don't know what the split was between Newport and York, but I would guess around the same. To be honest.
Well, I did see a story. Bit. There was a. It's like a 95-year-old.
Was it more important for their fans to make that as opposed to the playoffs?
Well, no, you wouldn't have thought so, would you?
I did see there was a 95-year-old Newport fan who'd waited. I think he was born 5 years after Newport were formed. And he'd been waiting all those years to go to Wembley to see them play, and he was going to this game, so I actually feel quite gutted for him that they lost.
Yeah.
He probably won't remember it.
Lee Minchin as well, friend of the show that was at Wimbledon, went on loan to Newport County, so he played at Wembley. So obviously he didn't get a result, but looking at his Twitter feed, and he had a good day out. The FA Vars was between Dunstan UTS and Auckland Town.
Big team.
It finished 2-0. There was only 5,000 there, but this is really bad of the FA.
2-0 they played.
They finished 2-0 to Dunstan UTS. So 5,000. Won 5,100. Stop being a private school madness. 5,126 there. But it was played at 3 o'clock. On the same day that the Premier League finished.
Do you not see Dunstan's is, do you?
No.
It's a school for the blind.
What?
Oh, those private blind kids. Yeah, bloody hell.
Sorry, I didn't see where you were coming
Pushy
from.
Pushy.
Yeah, so a little bit of housekeeping. Moving on to, we've talked about the conference playoff final. We've got the League One and League Two playoff finals coming this weekend. Yeah. The West Ham game. West Ham 2, Blackpool 1.
Devastated.
Well, part of me is quite happy because I can now say I played in the same school team as a Premier League player in Nicky Maynard. So
he's still injured.
I would have. He was on the bench.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
As you say, Verste got
for
the winner.
For a reason.
Verste got the winner. West Ham didn't really deserve it. If you talk to Alex Batiste, have you seen these comments?
Yeah.
They hoof it long. Everyone
all their players are 6'8".
Everyone wanted the London team to win, and I wouldn't fit in because I'm not 8 foot tall. Yeah. He absolutely slaughtered them. He just caned them.
He's not bitter, though.
Yeah, no, him and Johan Cruyff just sat down and thought, right, what can I say? What can you say? One thing I did like from this, Sam Allardyce refused a open top bus tour.
Yeah, no, fair play.
Because he was like, no.
So would I if I was that popular in East London, like Sam Allardyce.
He's a lot more popular now than he was,
especially with this weather as well.
And to be fair, most of his mates won't be able to see over the top of the bus.
The Seven Dwarfs would have been on the bus, don't worry. They'd have got a seat down the bottom. But I quite like that, the fact that you said, no, what we achieved was good. We got the job done, but the way we achieved it is not worth celebrating.
Personally, I think it's Sullivan and Gold saying we're not fronting the money for that. Take out the players.
I don't know. I think most of the money for that comes through the council because they have to police it all.
You got to mean, Vazte has done very well since he's moved there in January, didn't he?
Yeah, ripped as well. Did you see him with his kit off?
Yeah,
doing a bit.
I've been talking about girls with their tits off. You're now talking about naked men,
and I got more excited about that.
You did a little bit.
Vazte, even they got a look back. He was at Motherwell for a while. He struggled at Bolton, and all of a sudden he went to Barnsley on trial.
Really kicked off.
And carried on, he'd done very well.
There was even talk of him going to 2012 with Portugal, but
really?
Ultimately he didn't make it. Yeah, I think he just missed out.
I think now he's just going to Portugal.
Talent, like Al Golf.
Yeah.
Why not? Put his feet up.
The Cardiff Dragons thing as well has been nipped in the bud. I don't know if we mentioned this last week, but just in case we didn't.
Oh, yeah,
it's nipped in the bud. Mr. Tans has basically said, do one then.
This is why I bring it up, because when we were talking about it when it first all kicked off, we were like, would it happen? And Mike, you were sort of saying, well, if they're going to put the money in, they released this statement, but it was a little bit of an underhanded, like, all right then, we don't like the reaction.
Good luck.
Sod you, good luck, you're fucked, was the impression that a lot of Cardiff fans got from the statement.
Is that a direct quote?
No, yeah. No, no. Well, it could have been. I don't know.
It was, but obviously the
translation.
Yeah. Oh right, right.
Calmed it down. A bit.
And one interesting point as well: if you go back onto our site or onto iTunes, if you listen to the latest FFDU podcast, they interviewing Spencer Pryor, and I didn't get a chance to listen to it. I listened to it last night. It's really, really interesting. For some reason, I thought Spencer Pryor was Welsh. He's not. Sounds like he's from Essex, yeah. Basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd forgotten what a varied career he'd had. He went to Leicester, Derby before he ended up at Cardiff.
Well, when he signed for Cardiff as well, he had to go through an unusual ritual, didn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, the testicles. Yeah. But
Sam
yeah,
that Man City for a while. Yeah.
He had to eat. Was it donkeys or?
I think it was sheep.
Sheep's testicles. Yeah. As before, he signed the contract, they made him eat a sheep testicle. But I mean, he'd have been well up for that. He was proper sort of old school footballer, but. He's talking about his days at Man City. He talked about his 30th birthday party with him and Steve Howie, I think, his wife or something. But
Howie's his wife.
Steve
Howie? No. He shared the same birthday as Steve Howie's wife. I think that was it.
Right.
Anyway. Okay. But anyway, it's a really good listen. And he talks about the Cardiff thing as well, because that was rumbling on at the time they did the interview.
That rolls into your little rant that you had the other day, didn't it? About a different coloured kit.
Yeah, I got quite angry on Twitter yesterday. It was,
Paul reply?
It was trending. Someone did reply, not Paul.
What did they say?
It's a long story, but to anyone who doesn't know, if you go onto our Facebook site, there's a photo on there from yesterday. I got an email from the football club that I support who have changed the colour of their kit for one season. I didn't like it, so I sent quite a sarcastic slash...
Put it this way. When I spoke to my mum yesterday, she said, Football Podcast came up on my Facebook. I saw your Jim's email. That was funny.
Oh, there you go. It's got the approval.
Don't worry, I told you were a knobhead, so it's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. A lot of people on Twitter liked it, because I think a lot of Gillingham fans feel the same as I do, that we shouldn't change the kit. It's only for one season, and there is kind of reasons behind it. The email will explain all. But yeah, I got a reply, and basically... He counteracted most of my points. It was actually a really good email. Counteracted most of my points.
He actually put you in your place.
And then no. And then at the bottom he said, I noticed that you may be willing to actually purchase the kit if it was at the right price. Perhaps we could come to some arrangement.
What, £6?
So
you're bartering.
Yeah. So Gillingham football fan, don't pay the recommended retail price. Email the card, and then I actually emailed back saying, no, you're missing the point. I wouldn't pay any money for that shirt. But I said it in a nice way, and we've actually had a bit of correspondence.
Did they respond
now.
To your point about releasing players via Twitter?
No, that's another thing. Right, we were talking about Kieran Dyer being offered a contract. QPR released a lot of players this week, Rowan Vine and so forth. Gillingham released their list on Monday, and there was 5 players which were out of contract and weren't offered new deals, so they released them into the wilderness. And one of them was one of
I've
my favourite with Emil Heskey.
Transit Heskey. Van pulling off in the middle of nowhere. You're free now, boys. You're free.
Just pick him out.
Emil Heskey running around a forest. With no clothes.
What was it with you and naked men this
It's
episode?
The fucking humping on the bridge that's got me.
Randy, why are you talking about men?
I'm feeling really bad now when we have the photo at the end of this show, what Jim's going to get us to do.
The photo at the end is going to be Stuart Hall wearing his coat in the 30 degree heat.
He's not going back
he
on.
Brought a coat down to the pub. You always
roasting.
Do it.
I don't trust the cleaners.
Anyway, you're going to finish.
Trust the cleaners.
To be fair, they stole my water bottle the other day, so you got a point there. Yeah. What was the point I was making, Sean?
Allegedly.
I can't remember.
Moving on.
Being released by Twitter.
Yes, exactly. One of my favourite players is a player called Simon King. He's been through a lot of injuries, but he's a really good defender. They released him and he found out via his Twitter feed. He turned his phone on, his computer on. He had a load of people saying, good luck, sorry to see you go. He was like, what's all this then? Looked at the rest of his feed and he'd been released and he found out via
Twitter. That's class, that is.
Yeah, so I had a little snide at that as well. But yeah, well done for bringing that up. Nice one. Right, we'll move on a little bit as well. I've got a new book.
I saw this.
Have you seen it already?
No. I saw this.
I want your reaction. This is my new book. The book is The Secret Diary.
Where did you get that from?
I've seen that.
The Secret Diary of Mario Balotelli. And then it's got a little bit at the bottom, not the actual diary of Mario Balotelli. I'm gonna give it to Dan. What I want you to do is have a little flip through. Pick out some highlights to speak about on next week's show.
Jim, that's the greatest present I've ever been given.
No. Then I'm going to have it back off you once you've had a flick through, and we'll give it as a football podcast trivia prize.
So I've got a week to read 212 pages. Struggle.
You don't have to have a week, but come back to us next week.
It's quite big
just
text.
Open it. Yeah, it's not going to take you long, is it? Let's be honest. Yeah, open it at random. Pick out some things for us.
Brilliant. That is
and then come back to us.
I love his Nike ad of him in the hairdresser.
It's quite good.
It is brilliant.
And has everyone seen the ITV advert as well?
Yeah.
Have you not seen the new ITV advert?
With Balotelli?
No.
Which one? I don't watch ITV.
I shall put it on the website if you guys haven't seen it. I assumed everyone had seen it. It's the Euros coverage, and basically it's like, what would have happened if England hadn't gone for 8 years of hurt, if they'd won everything. So they've mocked up. Some of them are rubbish, some of them are really good. They got Gareth Southgate putting the penalty away against Germany. They've got Scott Carson grabbing the ball instead of it bouncing under him.
They've got Thomas Brolin missing.
Exactly, that one looks a bit dodgy. You can see the skip there. Some of them are. Have you seen it, Stu?
He said no.
It's ITV. Like, I'm surprised they managed to show any football at all and not skip to some ridiculous show.
They're probably showing me.
Everton fans still hate them, don't they? I tell you what, guys, I'm back to the office in a minute, and before I go out on my meeting, I will put that on the website so you can all have a look. So that'll be, if you listen to the show now, it'll be probably the last blog, because Dan's pretending he's going to get these girls with tits out, but he won't. So it'll be the last blog underneath the show. One last thing from me as well. The Everton Club Shop. I never knew this.
Oh, it's brilliant. Its name?
Yeah.
Oh, no. It's been
for a long time, and apparently it might not be called that anymore. Well, but just in case it is, right? If anyone's been to Liverpool, they've got a massive, massive shopping centre there called the Liverpool One Centre.
Yeah.
Everton opened a club store about 2 years ago, apparently, and they decided to call it Everton 2. So the official address is Everton 2, Liverpool 1, Liverpool, and then the rest of their details.
Brilliant.
Yeah. And I randomly came across it on a website forum, and I was like, that is absolute genius. And
that
it
is genius.
A little
and
publicity,
the best thing about it is it's not far away from the Liverpool Club Shop.
Yeah,
and two doors down, isn't it?
When they did it, I think they'd just beaten them 2-1. That's what someone told me at work, but they might have been completely bullshit.
That is brilliant.
So, right, anything else for anything else, guys?
I have one quick story. The Japanese Olympic team have already started training for 2012.
Very efficient.
But they've been doing it in a very strange way. They've basically started using triangular balls.
Okay.
So they're based on a Japanese snack, onigiri. Which, apologies if I mispronounce it, it's apparently a rice triangle wrapped in seaweed. So basically they're firing these triangular balls at the goalkeepers to try and boost their concentration, because obviously it moves very strangely. It's like a rugby ball, basically.
Oh, it's worse than a rugby ball, it's a triangle.
It's ridiculous, yeah. And basically, they're known for coming up with new creative strategies. Like, they train with volleyballs because they move strangely. It's like playing with a flyaway in your garden when you're six. You kick it and it flips around.
Surely training with the official balls of the tournament
would
make more
that
sense.
That was mine.
But they haven't released it yet.
Hang about. The bridge that people were humping on, they're now putting up some sort of Love Adonis balloons.
They put up 99 red balloons by the look of it. For any Nina fans out there.
I've got 99 problems.
Well, we know what the photo is.
Yeah, we'll go stand underneath that. That's lovely.
Oh, last little thought.
That's going to be a really nice photo.
Oh, nice. I think it's all like, you know, arms around each other. Anyway, is that it? Are we all done?
Go on.
My last thought, it was a completely random, but a drunken conversation in Krakow. One of my mates, we were kicking a football about in the square.
Before or after the eye gouge?
This is just before.
Okay.
Walking through a square, a bit drunk. One of the lads turned around to me and went, wouldn't it be a weird world if balls hadn't have been invented? And I'll leave you on that note. Imagine if balls hadn't been invented.
Yeah. I don't think any of us would be here, Dan.
Oh, exactly.
Right, moving on from that very quickly. We've got... Oh, no, I'll just leave it there. Score predictions. Last week, we had Bayern Munich and Chelsea. Stu, Sean, Dan and Jay all went for Bayern Munich wins. So you were straight out of the running.
No. We went for the correct... Yeah, but the correct scoreline. No one got the correct scoreline.
It doesn't matter. If you get the right result, whoever's closest gets a point, Dan. Yeah. I explained this last week. It's very clear. To everyone else, it's clear. You all went for Bayern Munich wins of various degrees.
You were certainly further away than we were.
So you were wrong. Mike went... 1-0 to Chelsea. I went 2-1 to Chelsea. Therefore, I win the points.
What? Why do I win the points? No, we both win the points.
No, I should explain why. Right, who is closer to the actual scoreline?
We're both a goal off.
We're both a goal off, but Bayern Munich scored.
No, that's
I was closer.
No.
I was closer to
I'm sorry, can we have a vote there? Do we each get a point?
Or no one gets a point?
Who's putting the shot this week?
No one gets a point.
Oh no, so
leave the show off.
Sorry, Pol Pot.
What do you want to leave the show off?
0.5 and 0.5.
Okay,
or one
I'd say 0.5 and 0.5. Oh,
0.5 each.
So I'm still 3-1 up.
No,
you've got a point.
I guess the correct score.
1 point, 1.5, 0.5.
We agreed that it'd just be a point. Don't you remember last week? You're turning into me with ranting.
It's disgusting.
Right, I want your score predictions for the League One playoff final, which is Huddersfield versus Sheffield United. I'm going to go for 2-1 Huddersfield, just because I don't want Sheffield United to win.
That's exactly what I was going to go for, but I'll go for something different.
Go on, Sean, what are you going for?
I'll go for 3-2 Huddersfield. Make an exciting one.
Both Huddersfield, okay. Stu? Dan, what's two things?
Right, I'm going to go for a five-pointer. I'm going to say 1-0 after normal time, no, then 2-2 during normal time, and then they
point.
Win 3-2 on penalties, Huddersfield. Why not?
So you're going for a Pens win. So you're going for a Pens win, Huddersfield, because that's all I'm giving you.
Well, that's not fair. Well,
we'll go back
win.
And listen.
Penalty win, Huddersfield. Yeah?
I'll go 2-0 Sheffield United.
0-2 Stuart.
Yeah, well, I've just been facetious, really.
2-1 Sheffield United.
2-1 Sheffield United. I am going to guess correctly and go for 3-1 to Sheffield United.
Another couple getting through.
Right, one other little thing quickly. We are doing some awards. Our end of season awards are probably going to happen on the 8th of June. Friday the 8th of June.
This is a summer of love.
It is. Look, this is just, there's another couple now, just humping.
Go away then, Stu.
To be fair, they're not humping. That is more romantic than humping. But I'm loving the red balloons. It's going to be really nice. Yeah, yeah.
You've got embarrassed.
Yeah, so we're going to have our awards on Friday the 8th of June. So more details when we announce that officially. But just a date in your diary, fellas. Keep that open.
Looking forward to it.
Sure, you won't come anyway.
I'm probably going back to the north, but
I hope so.
Fingers crossed.
Right, that's it. Is anyone getting anything else to add?
No, I'm melting.
We're all going to go and hump on a bridge. Cheers, guys. See you next week.
See you
later. All right.
Bridge. Don't nick the phone.
Yeah. Stuart, is the phone okay?
The phone's okay.